Welcome or welcome back to the Even Means Life podcast. Today's episode is part two to me interviewing international students. This episode is a little bit different from the last one because I have one student from Germany and one student from Spain. They both have unique experiences because one is in a cohort and has traveled around to a bunch of different countries during college, and the other is doing their full education at USC. First up, we've got Nicholas, who is a senior in IBEA.
Hey everyone, I have another guest on the podcast today. Nicholas, would you like to introduce yourself, say your name, age slash, I guess, semester of college, where you grew up, your major, and fun facts? I know that's a lot, so let me know if you need me to repeat which question.
Yes, so hello everyone. My name is Nicholas. I'm 21 years old and currently in my 7th of 8 semesters for my bachelor degree. My major is business administration, and I originally studied at the University of Mannheim in Germany. But I've studied doing my studies on a lot of continents, so not only Mannheim, but also in the US, Singapore, and right now I'm living in Rio de Janeiro. And a fun fact about me, I have visited over 50 countries in my life. I speak 6 languages. And I've once visited the White House.
Wow. Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, I think there's nothing better in life you can do than traveling. I generally enjoy traveling. I think this year I've been to 20 countries so far. My friends would all say I'm really crazy about traveling because I'm the one which travels by far the most. But yeah, there's nothing better, in my opinion, than traveling.
So you mentioned that you started college at the University of Mannheim. Where did you grow up in Germany?
Yes. So originally I grew up in Saarlouis, Saarland, which is a really small town, really close to the French and Luxembourgish border in the southwest of Germany. Really rural area, so not a big city. That's where I grew up for most of my life until I was 18 years old. And with 18 years, I then decided to study business. I was not sure where I want to study business first. So the first idea was going to the Netherlands, as I'm also half Dutch, and study business there in Rotterdam. But as soon as I found out about IBEA and the IBEA program, which is the program which brought me to all this, these different destinations, I decided to go to Mannheim and take my chance to get accepted there.
Oh, wow. How did you hear about IBEA? Because that was actually my next question.
I originally heard about IBEA when I was searching for the different universities. And I went through all the big universities in Europe to look which program is the most interesting for me. I was not sure even if I want to study business administration. I was also looking for economics and philosophy. But in the end, I finally got to know University of Mannheim, which is also the best university in Germany for business administration. And then I looked into IBEA. I saw you could study on 4 different continents, which was amazing. And as I'm a really international person, always traveling and also traveling to family, which was living or is living worldwide, I knew this program was made for me. So I knew it. I have to go to Mannheim. I originally did not want to go to Mannheim because I thought the city is ugly. But I really fell in love with the city while studying there. There's a saying which says you cry twice in Mannheim, once you arrive there and once you leave. And I think that's really true about the city.
Wow. I didn't know that you considered it kind of ugly. What about it made you think
that? So Mannheim is a really good city for studying. You have a lot of young people there. But it's not the most beautiful city. It got completely bombed in Second World War. So they built new after the Second World War. And all those houses are built pretty cheap and pretty fast. So they didn't put a lot of effort and money in it. And the city itself is not really green. It's really gray. Although Mannheim is one of the cities with the most sunshine in the year. But it doesn't have that many scenic places except for the castle, which is really, really beautiful, and the two rivers where we as a friend group hang out a lot. And it's really cool to, on a hot summer day, just go to one of the rivers and drink beers with your friends or hang out, play sports and do fun activities there. But yeah, originally, and Mannheim is known to have a lot of crazy people in its city, I would say.
Is that because they're all young? You said there's a lot of young people.
That could be too. Yeah, kind of.
Okay. So
what's Mannheim is also a really multicultural city, which makes it really funny to live in it. Because, for example, when there was the European football tournament, in Mannheim, there are a lot of Italian and Turkish people. And whenever their team won, you could hear noises and like people celebrating all over the town. And it felt like there were more people from Italy or Turkey living in Mannheim than from Germany, which is quite funny. There's also a little area in Mannheim called Little Istanbul, which I think shows how many different cultures live there.
Yeah, that's so cool. What's been your favorite part of IBEA so far? So you're coming up towards the end. You're a senior, so you have one more semester. So yeah, what's been your favorite part?
Yeah, I think it's really, really hard, this question. IBEA is all about not only studying in different places, but traveling to different places, getting to know different kind of people, different kind of cultures, getting used to different people, but also saying goodbye to different people after 4 or 5 months, which is always really hard. And I think when I have to choose the semesters, it would be either the American or the Brazilian semesters, but currently I'm more opting to the Brazilian semesters. As I think this is my favorite country of all the countries I've ever been to. Like, I love the Brazilian culture. I love the Brazilian people. I've never had people which welcome me with such a big heart and such a big smile. Many people in Brazil, I would say, don't have much money, but even if they don't have much money, they try to give you everything, try to host you as the best host ever. And I just feel so welcomed by everyone here. And the culture, it's so vibrant. It's so colorful. When you're in Rio de Janeiro, and that's the city I'm currently living in, there's always life going on the street, on the beach. There's always some party going on, people just celebrating and enjoying life. And I think that's such a valuable thing in life. I'm really, really happy for. And also, I think it's the culture I fell in love with, definitely. And I mean, there are some people here who are not that cool, like security is an issue in Rio de Janeiro, but it's also, I would say, part of the adventure. And if you get used to it and are safe enough or don't do stupid stuff, I would say it's not that unsafe here anymore. And I mean, we live really close to the beach, so it's for us 2 minutes to the beach to play volleyball or play soccer, to just hang out, do funny stuff with friends, I think. Therefore, this country and this city is the best place we could ever go to.
Wow, that sounds like such a dream. And I saw that you went hang gliding there too. What was that like?
It was awesome. Like, as you, I love flying. I love flying in planes, but I also love just doing everything which is around air and having like sceneries. So hang gliding was really, really fun. It's a place called São Conrado in Rio. And it kind of reminded me of the Rio movie from Pixar Disney. I'm not sure, but there also was a scene where they hang glided through Rio. So I definitely want to do it. It was really, really fun. It was less scary than I thought, because you always see, I thought it was way faster and way more adrenaline, but it was actually pretty chill when we were flying. And you could see so much. We could see the beach. We could see the people on the beach. You could see the Cristo. You could see the favelas. You could see everything from above. It's really, really green Rio. And definitely one of my top 10 life experiences, I would say.
Wow. That definitely inspired me, because I had just been hang gliding when I saw your post. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, I would love to do that. Did you have lessons before that? Or was that your first time?
No, I'd never had hang gliding lessons before, so it
was
first time ever.
Were you by yourself?
No, I was with a person. The picture you see, the person was hiding behind me, or he was always like the whole time behind me, and he let me also steer the hang glide for some times to make me practice, but I was not completely alone.
Okay, that makes sense. I thought you were alone, so I was like, wow, okay, that was quick if you hadn't have had another lesson.
That would have been really quick, but I think hang gliding alone the first time is really, really dangerous, because people underestimate how difficult it is to steer those hang glides sometimes.
How high were y'all above the ground?
So Rio is surrounded by mountains, and it's like a city within many, many mountains. This was one mountain which is really, really close to the sea. I think it was, the point was 550 meters, and yeah, 550 or 600 meters above sea level. So it was a total of 7 minutes roundabout, but pretty, pretty cool.
That's super cool. So you said your favorite country in Iberia has been Brazil. Do you have a favorite overall country?
Yes, it's also Brazil.
Also Brazil. Okay,
I would not say my favorite place I've ever been to is Brazil, because there was definitely Hawaii, as I once did a solo trip there for 2 weeks. But my favorite country overall, with all the cultures and all the people combined, would be Brazil. It's just the overall experience. I feel so happy here and so welcomed here. And especially if you compare it to different countries. So I've been to a lot of countries, and I've never had people, yeah, just enjoying life as much as here. And that's what I really appreciate. And it's really also really different to Singapore. I really love Singapore too. Singapore was a great country to live in. But I think it's the whole contrast to Brazil, because people there are much more reserved. Everything is completely well organized. Everything is on time. Everything is precise. There's no trash and everything. And Brazil is sometimes really chaotic, but I think that makes it beautiful too.
And that's saying a lot coming from you, who's been to so many countries. If that's your favorite, like, there must be something real special.
Yes, definitely.
So you mentioned Hawaii. So I know you've come to the U.S. many times. You've lived here. Can you tell everyone about your experience in the United States? What did you love? Was it what you were expecting? All of the stuff about U.S.
Yes, so I've been to the U.S., I think, 5 times in my life. In total, I lived there for half a year last year, and I will also live there next year on from July, as I do an internship in New York. But I've been to many states so far, I think 25, and Hawaii was by far my favorite state. It was the first solo trip I've ever did. It was pretty surprisingly that I did it, because I did not plan to go Hawaii, but I was just going through through holiday pages, and I saw that there were flights for 500 euros to Hawaii, which is pretty cheap. So it's also around about $500 for a round trip from Europe to Hawaii. And once I saw that, I immediately booked it. I went there for 2 weeks to the island of Maui, Oahu, and Big Island. And I don't know what is so special about the trip, but just everything fitted perfectly right into the place. I met so many people from all around the world, which whenever I approached them, just took me on a road trip with them. I learned surfing, I saw whales, I saw northern or like polar lights on my flight to Hawaii, which was really special because it was the first time ever too. I could dive with manta rays, we saw a volcanic eruption there. Just everything felt so naturally there, and I got so lucky to see so many great places and have so many great experiences there that there could have been nothing which could have been better on this trip. So I was just genuinely happy with everything what happened there. And to the rest of the states or my experience with the US, I love the US. Although I'm not happy with American healthcare systems or education systems, but everything else in the US, I think we could learn a lot from the US and Europe. And all around the US, I think my favorite place is Massachusetts. I really love Massachusetts as a state, and Boston. And yeah, I also really fell in love with the country living there, and I can't wait to go back next year.
Yes, that's super exciting that you have an internship in New York. That's such a cool opportunity.
And I'm really, really happy about it, because it's like, for myself, it was always a dream to work once in New York. And the internship I will work in is in the aviation industry, which is the industry I want to work for one day. So it's the perfect industry and the perfect city. And I really can't wait to start my adventure in the US again.
Yes. What piqued your interest about aviation, and when did you start getting into that?
So my friends would say I was always, all my life, already an aviation geek. I think the aviation geeks bubble is a really special bubble, because if people are aviation geeks or love aviation, they really love it and they're really into it. And for myself, I think I got into it on my first long-haul flight to South Africa in 2006 or 7, I'm not quite sure. I just find it so special to be on an airplane. I was so interested in everything, and then I could see the cockpit with the captain, and just everything about aviation fascinated me since back then. And due to my family living in all parts of the world, so I have family who lived in the Netherlands, in the UK, in Spain, or even in Pakistan for some time. So I got to travel a lot all around the world to see them. And every time I sat on an airplane, or still nowadays when I sit on an airplane, I feel like a small child who's really excited about everything and just loves watching out of the window, seeing all around the stuff. And yeah, since many years, then the dream in me grew to become a pilot, which then later changed to aviation management. And now, as I'm just starting business, I'm pretty sure I will go to aviation from the business side.
Yes, that's so cool. And you're getting like the experience around the world, and then you'll hone in on just aviation for a little bit as well. And that's cool.
Which country are you most excited for?
Now that you talk about Brazil, I think I'm excited for that one. But originally Germany, just because then I can use the language skills that I've been learning, and I'm already kind of familiar with the country. So it'll be like bringing everything together, like the history and just being a lot older than I was back in fifth grade. So I'd say Germany right now, but I think I'm going to be excited for each country as they come.
So. Could you ever imagine living in Germany again, like for a longer time, except for IBNR?
I think so, yes. And I've been to maybe like 15 countries. And so who knows what I'm going to say like way later and if I like another country. But yes, I could see myself living in Europe.
Nice.
It's just so much more exciting because for me, living in the U.S., I don't know. It's very like boring to me. Like, I don't understand how people go to college and then get a job where they literally are just in an office or doing something. And sure, like, I guess they like that job, but for me, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, that you can stay in the same place the rest of your life and never go anywhere. You know, it's just crazy to me. So yeah, I could see myself having like a section of my life where I choose I'm going to live overseas. So, but I had a question for you about like languages. So you said you speak 6 languages. So what was the process of learning all those languages, and like, how did you stay motivated to learn all of them?
That's a good question. So the 6 languages are obviously German, as it's my mother tongue, Spanish, then English, Dutch, Portuguese, and French. So next to German, I grew up with Spanish bilingually since I was a small child, as I have Spanish half siblings. And my dad wanted me to speak to my Spanish half that I could speak with my Spanish half siblings in Spanish. So I always grew up with Spanish too, and I'm pretty fluent in Spanish. Then English, you obviously get taught English in school, and I think most of my English skills also pretty much improved in my time abroad. Then Portuguese, I just learned Portuguese for the last 4 months, but as you live in Rio de Janeiro, it's almost impossible to not learn Portuguese because people here cannot speak English. I think about 2 or 3% of the population here maybe talk English with you. And that's definitely usually not the waitress in a restroom or the guy selling you acai somewhere. So if you gotta communicate with them, you have to learn Portuguese. And by getting thrown into the cold water here, because no one speaks anything else in Portuguese, I think you learn it pretty, pretty fast. And we also had like some Portuguese classes from our university here, which was pretty helpful. And now I would say I'm actually pretty fluent in Portuguese already. And what also helped me with Portuguese is the fact that I speak Spanish so fluently already, because many Portuguese and Spanish words are pretty similar. And if you know the basic grammatic rules, what distinguishes Spanish from Portuguese and which differences you have to make, it's almost the same language, in my opinion.
Okay. Yes? Sorry. How do you flip between each language? Like, what goes on in your brain when you do that?
That's also a good question, because sometimes, of course, you throw up Between German, English, and Spanish, it's really, really easy because for me, they're really different languages, so it's not hard to distinguish between them. Spanish and Portuguese is sometimes kind of hard because, for example, tomorrow I'm flying to Argentina, to Buenos Aires, and I know I will say some Portuguese phrases there, although I know Spanish way better, just because in my brain I'm currently thinking a lot in Portuguese. And there you can sometimes exchange words or, yeah, throw up a bit. So this is sometimes hard, but as long as you're talking one language a lot over time, I think you kind of get used to the grammatical structures and the words. So you gotta remind everything correctly.
Yep. This is just so inspiring to me because I've grown up around, you know, all Americans and like, not many people speak multiple languages, but since I've been learning German and everything, I've noticed this semester that I've been able to switch more. And I followed a lot of like Germans on TikTok so that I can just hear German more. And it is crazy how like certain words, I don't even think of the English translation anymore. I just know what it is. Like, is that how it is in other like when you have all these languages, you know, it's like you just adapt, like you, I don't know how to explain it, but I feel like I'm starting to get that
definitely,
dual, like, being able to go back and forth.
Definitely. That's, I think, also one of the beautiful things about learning languages is that in each language there exist words which don't exist in other languages, which I'm really happy to know, which are really, really beautiful, and also some words in other languages where I think they express much better what I want to say than other languages, so I really appreciate that about other languages. And yeah, you kind of develop your own slang and your own way of talking for each of the different languages, I would say, which is pretty cool too.
I just thought of another question. Have you been able to hear different accents? Like, when you came to America, were you able to hear a British versus Southern versus like Northern accent?
Definitely.
Okay.
I think even between our groups, so our group consists of many French people, many Brazilians, many Americans, many Germans. So you definitely hear the differences there. I definitely hear the difference between British English and American English. Yes, we got taught British English in school. So if you go to America, then you hear the American accent, which is, I would say, quite different from the British accent. You really notice the difference. I think I don't know which accent you would give me, but I think my accent kind of moved a bit from the British English to the American English, as I just have American friends currently who I spend time with. So that kind of influences me a lot. But yeah, I think there are definitely a big difference between the accents.
Okay. Especially
if you go to Asia, there you will hear even bigger differences because they kind of really struggle with English. So they at least try, because in South America there are not many English speakers, but in Asia you really hear the accent difference, and it's really funny sometimes when they speak English, especially the Singlish, which is the Singaporean English. They kind of say it's their own language, but it's really, really funny.
Well, I was just wondering, because when I think of German, I know that people say ich versus ich, and so, but I can't hear like a difference, whereas in America, of course, I know the accents. So I was just wondering.
That's true. But in Germany, we have also really strange and weird grammatics, and also like the sh difference in Germany. It's a really distinctive small difference. Even I make it sometimes wrong. So don't feel bad about it.
So I just have a few more questions. So what do you miss most about Germany?
Definitely my friends and my family, because I'm away now for 1.5 years already. And I just saw them in between for like some day or some like 1 month. And that's definitely not enough time to completely catch up with your friends and family. And it's really hard. So last time I saw my friends and family from home was 5 months ago. So that's definitely what I miss most about the culture and the people. I would say some kind of German food. I think every place I've been to from Germany has better food than Germany, but still you gotta miss some of your hometown food, like a good pretzel or a good döner, where I'm really looking forward to. And then, yeah, think some of the German weather. I was now in places where it's just sunny and really warm and hot for the last 18 months, and going back to Germany, maybe hoping for a winter wonderland and going skiing. I think I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, cool. So what are your future plans? I know you've kind of already talked about that with business administration and then now doing the internship, but what's your, like, your big life goal, if you have one?
I think looking forward, still doing something with aviation. Developing my career in aviation management would be something really cool, but I'm always open for everything in life, and I think you can always make really, really cool plans, and a plan is just a plan until you get a roadblock and then a different path evolves. I think that's a quote from, I don't know, from J.R. Tolkien or someone, but I think, yeah, something like this. I think I will end up in aviation someday, and I will definitely not stop traveling. My life goal is just to be happy, experiencing new cultures, meeting friends, and doing the things I love in life.
Well, do you want to eventually become like a commercial pilot or just work in the aviation industry?
So currently just work in the aviation industry, but I'm really, really sure that in the next 2 years, I will do at least my private pilot license. And you never know how much fun you have there. And mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. I know people who already educated themselves further and then switched to the commercial airline industry. So you never know. It can for sure be that someday I will be a commercial pilot too, but currently it does not look like this is the path I will go.
Okay, cool. I think you'll enjoy the private pilot license. And that's the one where, I mean, you can just go rent a plane and have fun.
Yes. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. I have a friend currently who's also in Iberia, who wants to do it with me. And we are currently talking about when we want to start and where we want to start. So,
wait, yeah. That's so cool.
Plans are getting real.
Okay. I didn't know that there was going to be other IBEA students who also like planes and aviation, because nobody in my, like, my year is interested in planes. So, but that's cool that there's two other people. But I know y'all are about to graduate, so.
We will keep in contact for sure. That's the cool thing about IBEA. Like, you start as a group of strangers, but, and that's what I also recognize now as we're ending with IBEA. I have such a strong personal connection to everyone in our group. And I would consider everyone as a really, really good friend of mine nowadays. So I definitely know we will be in contact in a year from now, in 5 years from now, and still in 20 years from now. Actually, with him, I'm already planning also to do a trip together where I think 30 of our group will come and visit him in his home country in Morocco. So we will definitely stay in contact. And it's just a matter of time until we realize our private pilot license dream.
Oh, that's so cool. What makes Germany like stand out? Like, I know you grew up there, so it's kind of like you have to love it, but what about Germany is like the best, I guess?
What I really love about Germany and appreciate about Germany, that most of Germany is, in my opinion, really well thought through. Everything Germans do is well thought through. I love our culture, although many people may think Germany is boring, I definitely say not everyone in Germany is boring, and Germany can be really exciting and really colorful and really partyful and really cool too. I love the German education system, so I basically pay nothing for my tuition. My tuition is 200 euros or around about $200 a semester. And I paid the same amount of money when I went to the US, when I went to Brazil, and when I went to Singapore. And I'm really grateful for that, because the German government basically covers the whole tuition in Germany for everyone. We have a really, like, Germany is also way cheaper than the US. If you go to a grocery market in Germany, you will see that you will not have to pay a lot of money to get all your groceries. I love German culture, like Oktoberfest or all the other parties, Carnival, we have all around the year. which is really, really fun. And I mean, Germany is the country where all my friends grew up in, so I just love the people and all the memories I made in this cool country. And compared to Spain, Spain is my favorite country in Europe, I would say. I mean, I'm kind of biased with Spain because we used to go to Spain 4 or 5 times a year, not only for the family I have in Spain, so my brother and my sister are from Spain and they live there, but also we had a small home in Mallorca, which is Spanish island. So that's why we used to go there a lot of times, and I really appreciate the Spanish people, although I would say they're in general a bit lazier than the Germans. I love how they also approach life. I really enjoyed about everything. And Spain is a really, really cool country to live in and just relax. I mean, they have beaches, they have beautiful culture, beautiful cities, and really joyful people.
Yeah, that's so cool. I just thought of the question that, or like the thought that I had earlier. So it was about Greta Thunberg. So this is funny because back in 2019, I was living in Germany, and I remember my dad like showing me one of her speeches, the How Dare You speech. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, so he showed it to me, and I remember us like, I don't know, we thought it was really funny and like whatever. And with Taylor Swift becoming the person of the year, I started researching all the persons of the year. And I didn't realize that she won for 2019. Like, I guess I was living under a rock, but I did not know that. And since then, I've had for my AP exam for German, I had to write it about Greta Thunberg. And then I just had to read an article about, like, flying shame. So I was wondering, since you love aviation, what do you think about, like, the sustainability arguments that she has about how we should feel guilty about flying?
So, yeah, she was definitely a really, really big thing in Germany, and really influential, especially in 2019 and 2018, I think, too, when all the people went on the streets and did the protests for climate. And she's really famous in Germany, too. Recently, she got some criticism because she spoke out for, or she took sides in the Israel-Palestine conflict, and people were mad about it because they said she should focus on the climate issues instead of that. Me personally, I liked her doing the environmental stuff, although I, of course, not of course, although I disagree with the being ashamed about flying. But that's a really personal thing, as flying or traveling is for me the most important part of my life, or the part of my life which makes me, one of the parts which makes me most happy and where I'm most, like, yeah, I'm just happy flying around. So for me personally, cutting on flying is really, really hard. And I also don't want to feel ashamed. I think there are many solutions being developed which will make flying more sustainable in the future, although it takes some time nowadays. But also in total, flying makes 2% of the total emissions all around the world. And I think the focus which people put on flying is way, way higher than the, like, percentual focus which flying gets for being a bad emitter is way higher than the actual emissions which come out of flying. And I think there are many more areas where you could focus on and reduce the emissions in a way better and way more effective sense than in flying.
Mm-hmm. So, I completely agree. And that's why when I was reading this article, I was so annoyed because I had to side with her. But I was like, no, but I love flying like all the time. And, you know, of course, I agree with sustainability and climate change. And I really like how like Germany really, really tries with all of that. And like, not, you have to bring your own bag to every store. You don't just get a plastic bag. Like, it's just such a culture difference in America. And like, we still use plastic all the time.
What I always do with flying is, or most of the times I'm flying, I'm trying to offset my emissions, which I know is not 100% perfect and also not always 100% helpful, but at least for me, it's one thing I can do for the environment. But yeah, I know it's not the best to travel around the world and emit so much when flying, especially me, I'm flying a lot, but for me, everyone, or I know everyone has one guilty pleasure, and for me, it's definitely flying. I don't want to cut on flying. It just makes me generally happy to travel and be all around the world.
Yep. Okay, well, I think that was all my questions.
I'm really happy. It was really, really nice talk. Thank you, Eva. And I'm really excited also to see where your journey is going, especially going to Germany, Singapore, and Brazil too, and seeing how your journey develops. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
So that concludes the recording with Nicholas. Next up, we've got Fernando from Spain. Full disclaimer, there is a little bit of background noise in this recording, but you should be able to still hear everything. Also, later on in the episode, I couldn't remember a specific city in Spain, and it's Madrid, and you'll understand why in a little bit.
Hey everyone, I have another guest on the podcast today. Fernando, would you like to introduce yourself, say your name, what semester you're in of school, where you grew up, your major, and fun facts?
Okay. Hello everyone, listeners from Eva Means Life. As Eva said, I'm Fernando. I'm from Spain. I'm in my first semester of my junior year, so my fifth. I am in international business with economics majors. And some fun facts about me: I don't know, I have half a twin. Even though I'm from Spain, I haven't traveled much, but that's one of the things. I'm really big on traveling, and I don't know, I cannot think much about many fun facts. I'm not as amazing as Eva is.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't fly planes. I don't know, we'll see. We'll see through the podcast if I can think of some things that are fun about me.
Well, I think it's cool that you have a twin. That's pretty cool. And yeah. You said that you're in economics. What's your minor? Because you said you have a minor as well, right?
Well, I do have two minors. I have a Portuguese minor and a math minor.
That's cool.
Yeah, so a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. What do you plan to do with your major and minor? Do you know yet, or are you just...
Okay, so one of the things about me is that I see college as just a means to knowledge, and I'm passionate for learning, and I've taken mainly my majors more because of my interest in the subject matter rather than because of its practicality or utility. And honestly, one of my things is I do not want to work for somebody else. My dream is to have my own companies and convert ideas into companies. And so I will see. I don't know. I just really like the majors, but I don't know if I'm gonna use them.
Yeah, that's a cool mindset going into college, and you're not focused on the money. You're focused on what you actually enjoy. So that's good.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it took me a while to figure it out, but I think now I'm definitely gonna try. I'm gonna try my luck in the business world by trying to create something that's truly mine.
Mm-hmm. What university in Spain do you go to?
I'm a full-time student here in USC, so I did not go to university in Spain. I went to high school, but once I finished high school, I went to
here.
Yeah, I'm a full-time student.
I thought you were just here for the semester.
No, I'm going to be here the whole I'm going back to Spain because it's my semester abroad. As an IB major, I'm going back to Spain because, some family things. As you probably will go to Germany. So it's my semester, but I'm going back to Spain, but I'm finishing my degree here.
Oh, okay. Because my next question was, why did you decide to study abroad at USC? But I didn't realize.
It's going to be switched up. It's why do you study abroad where you live, where you've been all your life? That's the question most people ask me rather than the other one.
So wait, when did you get to USC?
So on fall 2021. That's
what was my first semester. Yeah. Okay. And you're a junior, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, cool. So why'd you decide to choose USC out of like other American schools?
Well, it was a difficult choice because I thought that's something I've always, I don't know, since I was like 13, 14, probably because of the influence of my mom, who studied some like a semester or two in UCLA. I've always been really attracted to studying in the US. And like when I was 17, I was like, okay, I'm gonna try to study in the US. And I had like some choices. I had like USC, I could have gone to, I don't know, like LSU and some others, like I don't remember. But I chose USC mainly because of its international business program. Now, I must say that I didn't know really much what international business was. It was the best in the country. I was international, and that was one of the main reasons I wanted to get a good education. So I thought the best program in something would be good. And also, I don't know, I could not visit the university as some people do when they decide. So it was more like a shot in the dark, it must be said. But it went amazing. It was a great shot in the dark. I did swish the shot.
Wow, okay. That makes a lot more sense now. So you speak really good English. So did you learn, like, have you learned your whole life? And yes. Then how did you, like, stay motivated to, like, learn it to come here?
Well, I've always, ever since I was a kid, I studied English. I think one of the things is that English, I think, is the language of the world, I would say. Everyone speaks English. It's the language of money, in my view. And since the U.S. established itself as the main country, the biggest power, I think, it has become the language of the world. And I think every country studies English. So ever since I was a kid, I studied English. And when I came to USC, I believe I had a really good level of English. So I didn't have a huge trouble adapting myself to the environment. Now, of course, I improved a lot. But I didn't have much trouble. And so English is part of me. It's not like I had to stay motivated. First of all, it was somewhat forced to me because my school studied English. And second of all, it was just a natural thing to do, speaking English, thinking in English, and being in the U.S.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Spanish is probably the most popular language for Americans to learn, but it's not to the level that you guys learn English. So.
Yeah, totally. I think that's something I've thought about a lot, how people here in the U.S. it's difficult to find people who are actually bilingual. And I think, I don't know, I don't think probably you're not as focused on learning any language as I maybe, I don't know, for an arrogant stand of like, oh, we speak English, the only language we need to speak. Or maybe the educational system is not strong enough to teach the languages. But yeah, I think it's a huge difference. I think the U.S. should improve its language education for sure.
Mm-hmm. And what have you thought about the U.S. since being here? Did it like meet your expectations that you thought?
So this is something I think about a lot, because so the idea I had of the U.S. before coming here was mainly due to movies, or like I had been to the U.S. several times, like, but just as a vacation. And my idea was mainly movies, like some watching like college movies, like college party type of movies. And I didn't have much of an idea of what the U.S. was. I think people tend to ask a lot of the question, oh, what's your vision of Americans, or what's your vision of German when you're American, or what's your vision of Spanish people? And I must say that I'm really reluctant to have expectations of places, because it's difficult to like pull yourself away and see a culture and a country from an objective point of view and be able to tell its intricacy, its characteristics and all that. So I didn't have much of an opinion on the U.S. So just for whatever reason, it just was something that I wanted to do. It had the best education in the world, or one of the best, at least way better than Spain. And I just wanted to be a part of it. And so far it has, even though I didn't have expectation, it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, to study here. I've really enjoyed it.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm glad you explained kind of the idea of like movies, and it's really hard to judge another, not judge, but like have an, I guess, have an expectation of another country if you, all you have is movies, you know? But
totally. Yeah, and even when you're in a country, of course, it's like, unless I think you truly start realizing the aspect of the what makes your country unique and what makes your people unique when you actually go abroad, when you actually realize, oh, they're different from what, this is different from what I'm used to. That's when you realize that you've always been immersed in the same culture all your life. It's difficult to actually understand what your culture truly means, what your culture implies. So, you know.
Wait, I actually have a question, because I know in Europe, when it comes to college, most countries in Europe, it's free. So how do you pay for USC here? Do you have to pay?
Yes, I had to pay. At first, I didn't have, like, I thought I had, like, a first-year scholarship, like, from the international, but it was only a first year, and, yeah, it had to be. Like, the tuition is pretty expensive. I'm extremely fortunate to have my grandfather, who's always been a huge advocate of education. He has always said that whatever I wanted to do education-wise, that I would not have a problem with with the financial aspect of it. And I'm really thankful for him for having this opportunity. And it was really because of my father, who's paying for my education.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I was wondering, because it's so, like, fortunate, I guess, for Europeans to be able to just go for free. That's something that I love about Europe, and I wish
yeah.
like that in America.
I think so. It's an interesting debate. I'm sure. Well, I do believe education should be free for sure, but it's difficult to set up an education system that is truly free. And because also education, you have to think about the quality of the education and also the quality of the research. Also, that's I think you have to be able to attract the best minds also to stay in academia and to stay teaching. So. It's difficult, you know, it's difficult to set up an education system in college that has the free and also has amazing professors and amazing way of providing knowledge.
Yep, I agree. So going back to just like America and your travels and everything, what has been your favorite state that you've visited?
So, okay, I'm going to talk about cities because I don't know much of the states. I've been to San Francisco, I've been to Chicago, I've been to New York, and I've been to Colombia. My favorite, I think the best experience I had was in San Francisco. I stayed there for a month in Berkeley, and I just loved San Francisco. It's a city I became in love pretty quickly. And one of the reasons why I came to the US was because of my experience in Berkeley.
Oh, cool. So you went there in, like, high school?
Like, yeah, I went there, yeah. So, like, I did, like, a summer course when I was, like, 2 years before I went to college in Berkeley, like a pre-college sort of summer camp to get to know, which was mainly focused towards international students, like, to, I think it's focused towards having, like, an idea of what studying in the U.S. truly is.
Okay, that makes sense. That's really cool that you got to do that, because then you kind of already know and could fully commit to coming here.
Yeah, I think that was also an amazing experience that I was fortunate enough to have.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've traveled around Europe and everything too. What's been your favorite country you've traveled to?
Well, people ask me this question a lot, and I'm so sad to say that I haven't traveled much. People think that Europe, since everything's so close together, flights are relatively cheap. People just go around Europe and travel a lot, and I haven't traveled at all around Europe. I think I've been to Portugal, but I consider that somewhat of an extension of Spain, and and I've been to Finland. Those are the I've been to of course Spain, Portugal, and Finland. So I cannot say much about European countries. I think actually I'm really one of my objectives is to travel, as you say. like travel mm-hmm. art this semester now that I'm 20 years old, and you know, it's easier to travel when you're 15 and you depend more on your family and all that. Now that I'm more independent, that's something I want to do. I want to get to know the beautiful continent that I have and that I haven't had the pleasure to truly visit.
Yeah.
So that's sorry totally, for not okay. responding to the question.
No. No, you're good. Our conversation the other day with Sarah, I thought you had been to Germany before, but you haven't?
No. Okay. Yeah.
That's funny.
I know it seemed like that the way I criticize German people. It's just because I just wanted to mess with Sarah okay, a little bit.
You were kind of joking on Germany, so
exactly,
I thought...
exactly. I mean, there's some stereotypes in Germany, and of course, I do have like some German friends, and like I know, I think we all like I do know what like the more or less the personality of a French person or a German person and the difference between them and the Spanish personality, but I haven't visited. I was just joking with Sarah to make her a little bit, okay. to push her buttons a little bit.
That's funny. Well, okay, so you grew up in Spain, so I want to hear all about Spain. What do you miss about it? And just what's the country like in general? Because I've never been before.
Spain is, I think it has a lot of similar, it's a Mediterranean country. And if you know something about Mediterranean, it has some, culturally, it's a lot closer to Italy, to Portugal, to Greece, and also to Latin America in terms of personality, in terms of culture, than it is to Northern European countries like Germany, Finland. We're a lot closer, even though we're a lot far away, more far away, we're a lot closer, I think, in culture to like Latin American countries than to Northern Europe countries. One key thing about Spain is I think we're extremely, extremely social. I think we live for social. I think, of course, the human being is social by its nature, but I think Spain has something about how welcoming it is, how much it values just people, that it makes it unique in that sense. I think that when you go to other countries in Europe, like for example Finland, they're a lot more alone. They don't value social relationship as much, or it's not that much part of their culture. Spain, everywhere you go, it's like, I think it's also because of the geography and the weather. I think doesn't matter what time of the year it is, you will always see streets full of people having beer, enjoying the sun, enjoying the time. And actually, I think one of the facts that I think defines best what I'm trying to say is that Spain is the country in the world with the most bars. Not per capita, the most bars. Like there's bars on every single street in Spain. No matter where you go, there's always a bar with people having fun, just talking, enjoying a beer, enjoying their time. So I think that social, that love for being social and welcoming, and so it's a huge part of Spain. I think that's the most important. Also, comparatively, yes, one thing I think is really different is that I always compare this in terms of resting, in terms of vacation. So I think how we define the mindset of Americans is that they live to work. And when they rest because tomorrow they have to go to work. So like, they always with work in their mind. In Spain, when we have rest, when we have free time, we're not thinking about work. We're thinking about living. So I think there's a lot more. It's a lot more the importance of living rather than working is more prevalent in Spain than it is in the U.S. For example, comparing it to the U.S. I think the social component. I don't think I'll. It's one of the countries, the most welcoming countries, the most social countries. Its richness in geography and like, even though it's a small country, the difference between the regions of Spain is massive, absolutely massive. You go to the north, and they have their own traditions, their different languages. It's different food, and of course the weather. Like in a space of a 3-hour drive, you can go to the most beautiful Ireland-like mountains, green natural places, and from that to like the typical beach you can think of Spain. And I think it's extremely diverse in terms of there's a depth of geography, weather, people, and yeah, I mean, it's of course the food. I think it's a country. I think each country probably has its uniqueness, but Spain is a must country in terms of visiting and getting to understand the culture, in my view.
Wow, that was like the best description of Spain. I really, really want to go. The reason I wanted to like ask about all of that is my brother, he's learning Spanish right now and he wants to be fluent. Yes. And so he's actually a junior this year. He's not a junior. He's a sophomore. Anyway, he's a sophomore in high school. And his
friend, come on, Eva.
I know.
He's your brother.
I was thinking of next year because he.
Okay.
His friend is an exchange student from Spain, and they ended up
really?
In their Spanish class, and now he's like best friends with this guy. So he's been talking about next year. So when he's a junior, either living abroad with his friend or his friend. Be like us being the host family for him next year so he could stay
another. Great.
So anyway, I've been like thinking a lot about Spain, and I thought it was really cool that Sarah introduced me to you, because now I can learn a little bit more, and actually like maybe my brother can listen to this episode and hear from your perspective everything. So
I think everyone should, but he should never back down from going to Spain. It's gonna be a unique experience for him. I think he's really gonna. I think I've never met anyone that has gone to Spain and hasn't loved it. The culture, the people, the weather, the food. It's just really different from the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And get this, he is a soccer player.
Oh, really? Then yeah, that's also a part of our culture.
Yep. So I think he would absolutely love it. So he's thinking of doing international business like me, but just a completely different realm. He wants to study abroad in Spain, you know? So I think it's cool too, because I'm the Germany girl, and then he'll be Spanish boy. So.
You're a cool family for sure. You're a cool family.
Yeah. I'll be so excited if he studies there, because then I can come to Spain and visit him.
You should. Each part of Spain is a must-see. Doesn't matter if it's Valencia, if it's Barcelona, if it's Madrid. But where is he thinking of going?
I'm actually not sure. I probably should know that. But
talk to your brother about all you do is fly planes, work out, having a podcast. And what about your brother?
I talked to him. I just forgot the city. I forgot the city.
No, it
was like a one-time conversation.
Just pushing your buttons as I did with Sarah. Just kidding.
I'll ask him, but it's whatever city that his friend grew up in is probably where he would end up going. Yeah.
Yeah, he can visit the whole country too. Like it's a small country, so I'm sure his friend will be a great host. Or I hope he is.
Yeah.
At least I would love. Like I would love sometimes. I imagine people that just go to Spain as tourists and not having the full total Spanish experience, and that's something that kind of drives me crazy. Like I wish everyone that went to Spain gave me a day with them. I would show them the best places to eat, the best places to like just getting a grasp of the full culture, because when you're traveling, it's difficult to you know truly understand the culture of a country and what makes it unique, unless you're with someone who's from that culture.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, that's all of my questions. So do you have anything else you want to tell the audience about Spain, or just your experience? Any advice, I guess?
Well, I don't know. Since this is a podcast, and who knows where I'll be in a while, and maybe they'll listen to me. I would say, I think the audience who's listening this, I would tell them that it's good to step out of your comfort zone and try to leave your country, because it's one of the most enriching experiences we can have. I think we grow when we're put in situations we're not used to, and I think that's what's so great about you. You're also putting yourself in a situation of going to Germany, and even though you've been to Germany, like, I'm sure it's going to be an amazing experience getting to know another culture, being almost by yourself in a new country. And the growth that comes from that is much greater than the growth just from the academic side. And that's why I will always encourage people to take a step forward and move somewhere else to live. And not, it doesn't have to be to study, but live at least for a year or two and experience that. I think that year that we spend abroad, it's normally the year we change the most. And I've changed so much and for the better throughout these 3 years. And but I just want to continue traveling and living in other parts of the world because I know how enriching that is. So I would tell the audience to step out of the comfort zone and go places, go see places, go meet new people, and just enjoy life. I think that's how you truly get to enjoy life.
Wow, thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me for the podcast.
Bye.
That concludes the recordings with both Nicholas and Fernando. I hope you were able to learn a little bit more about their story, about Germany and Spain. Like always, if you enjoyed today's podcast, go rate on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can follow and subscribe on both of those apps as well. And I actually have an Instagram for this podcast. It is @EvaMeansLife, so I'd appreciate just to go follow on there. I post content for each episode that's uploaded, and sometimes I have suggestions, polls, and questions on there as well. If you are enjoying my podcast, be sure to share it with your friends and family. And if you have any ideas for episodes, you can definitely DM me on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.